we've all met them. We know we've met them. Dickheads. And they come in all shapes and forms. By the way, just to keep things decent, I am going to refer to them as DHs from here on, because that's one of the acronyms we actually used when I was a young fella, to refer to people. I was a bit of a DH. We always knew what they were talking about. Anyway, they're certainly not exclusive to being something like, I don't know, an irresponsible dog owner. In fact, responsible dog owners have DHs residing in the neighbourhood that have absolutely zero or very little tolerance of dogs living close by. Now, there are problems that arise from short-fused dog and people hating DHs in the neighbourhood. It doesn't always mean that there is an issue with your dog. In fact, I remember a bloke who used to whinge. Oh, God, he used to whinge all the time. Ah, that dog's always barking. Well, one day, that dog that was always barking next door to his house was actually trying to tell him that a couple of blokes were breaking into his house. It was one of those moments when you stop and think, gee, how do you feel now? But of course, it can cause angst, it can cause distress, it can cause conflicts, complaints to councils, you know exactly where it's going to go. Our dog behaviour consultant around this place is Cathy Coplis-McLeod. She joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Cathy.
Hi, Chris. Hi, everyone.
This is one of those moments when I reckon diplomacy, the other D word, probably comes into play. But the key is sometimes people are amenable to being diplomatic, other times not. And when they're not, you've got yourself a real problem.
Indeed. And as we refer from now on to them as DHs, the diplomacy can just remove so much stress and anxiety for all concerned. And that's not only just the DHs, because whether they get some sort of a fuel from doing this to other people, I'll explain more about that in a tick, or whether it be the people that are on the receiving end of the DHs, there's a lot of distress and stress and angst in the family as well, because these outward DHs are just creating havoc within the households. And what I mean by that, it's not always the dog owners. I am currently dealing, and unfortunately probably will be dealing in future and have done in the past many a times, with dog owners who I have gone to see for their dogs being an issue, but they haven't really been an issue. But the problem, actually, the real problem has been the DHs in the neighbourhood. I've often said to these clients, I don't even know why you're booking me in, because your dog is fine. They kind of know that, by the way, but they feel that they need to do something to pacify the DHs in the neighbourhood or specific DH. And this is creating a lot of drama and concern, health issues for people, because the DHs are either cowards, or they're out there communicating but via text, or they are out there communicating but via with anger.
Yeah. See, the problem with text, you don't have any verbal cues. Texting could possibly inflame the situation. But here's the point. I suppose the first thing you have to do is get down to what is the nub of the problem. Now, let's say, for example, somebody complains and they've complained to the council. They've generally made a bit of a noise. You've concluded that there isn't an issue with the dog. Are people able to do things and say, well, look, I've been to Cathy Coplis-McLeod. She's a dog behaviour consultant. She practices in this area. Tells me there's nothing wrong with the dog. Are you able to write some sort of report on behalf of owners that say, well, look, what they've got is they've got a DH in the neighbourhood, and I know you'd be more subtle than that, and the problem is this person is complaining about a dog for which there is no problem, yet they perceive there is a problem.
Yeah, look, I've spoken to many a ranger over the years, and I often even give the client an extra card and say, look, hand this over to the rangers. Most of them know me because I do ranger conference talks throughout the year, so that's something that I'm open to, and we chat to them. But even prior to that, Chris, quite often the rangers, you know, are pretty savvy. They've been doing this for a long time, majority of them themselves. So they know when they're dealing with genuine people, genuine complaints, as opposed to, you know, you're a DH, you're just creating havoc, you're a dog hater or you're a people hater, you've got too much time on your hands, there might be jealousy involved, your world's unravelling, and these might just be easy people to to direct your aggression and anger towards. So rangers are pretty good at identifying. Plus, they do park. This is usually barking complaints, but sometimes it's other things. But by and large, it's barking. But the rangers park outside the houses. And another one is where people, the DHs, get caught out is when the dog owner has actually asked around the neighbourhood, is there a problem, is there a problem? When you get the majority, if not everybody other than the DH, saying, no, we don't hear your dogs. No, it's not a problem. It barks here and there, but we like it because it's, like you said in your introduction, they can be an alert. And they can be an alert to save you from being burgled or keeping maybe other DHs away from the neighbourhood.
Yeah, one of the things dogs are really good at doing is saying there's somebody around who shouldn't be around. And one thing they do, even if you've got people who walk past your place when they're walking their dogs or just going for a walk, the dog gets to know. Oh, Kathy's going for her walk this afternoon. So it's all good. What happens is they go, hang on a second, it's a salty-looking dude. So they start to let you know someone's around.
And we don't have to really train our brains too hard to notice that that's a different bark. That's a different bark to what my neighbour's dog or whoever's neighbour's dog does. That's not a happy bark. That's not a fence line bark. That's more of a guttural, more of an alert. It's a bit more of an urgent bark. Let's, instead of complaining and, you know, getting the mobile out and recording stuff, how about looking out the window and having a look, and perhaps if there is somebody shady, ring your local security and work as a community rather than against each other, because the last thing we want is more DHs in the neighbourhood.
When you look at some of these DHs, though, you have to look at them, I suppose, in context. For example, somebody who has another issue with their neighbours, are they liable to grab onto their dog? Well, if I complain about their dog, I can give them a hard time because they might not be able to complain about the issue over which they've got their bee in the bonnet. So they think, I'm just going to complain about your dog. In other words, they're being plain and simply vexatious. How do people deal with that? And from your experience, because you've obviously dealt with a lot of rangers, Shire and City Rangers pretty good at dealing with that sort of stuff?
Look, they are pretty good, and I can't vouch for every different jurisdiction around, you know, Perth, WA, but I have dealt with clients, and this is where it's probably a word that graduates from a DH, is where people start to use poisons to actually kill the dog. You know, let's not mince the words. You know, we've been dealing with, rat poisons, lately with different clients, and I don't even know where to start with that. That's actually going beyond being a DH. That's actually malicious.
Well, that takes animal cruelty to the next level, and God forbid if you end up poisoning somebody's child.
Well, this is it, exactly. And sometimes, too, another factor with DHs is we've got cameras everywhere, too, and sometimes cameras are pointing in directions of other people's homes, which is an invasion of privacy. And so, of course, the people that then get involved in is we surpass the rangers and the police get involved. So, and that has happened before, too.
Jeez,
so,
it can get really messy, can't it?
Oh, it can. And I do get these phone calls from time to time, and people do want to book me in just because they can show to the ranger, look, we've had somebody out. They've confirmed what everybody thinks, you know, everybody apart from the DH, and that is there's not really a major issue here. There's certainly worse behaved dogs in areas where people are more than tolerant, and it's a fan, you know, that's the kind of neighbourhood you want to live in. But the spitefulness, that where they're actually taking it further, where we're bringing poisons in or whatever the case might be.
No. That's just not... I mean, it's beyond. One thing to have an issue with somebody over their barking dog. If you start bringing poisons in, I firmly believe people should go to jail for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, no arguments there whatsoever. So just identify when you have got a troublemaker in the neighbourhood. And certainly, look, you know, the other side of it too is that some DHs are actually dog owners too. So it's sort of, you know, conversely, we can say there are, you know, DH dog owners there, and we all know that. And they can come in the form of, oh, yeah, my dog does bark, or, you know, for instance, it could be other issues, but let's just say barking. But they don't do anything about it. So, of course... That's, you know, DHs come in different forms, shapes and sizes.
They do.
Whether they have dogs or not.
We've all seen one who owns a dog that they really shouldn't own, but the dog makes them feel tough.
the dog makes them feel tough, and sometimes the dog actually boosts their ego because the dogs are just
makes
sort of
up
natural.
For, makes up for other deficiencies, Kathy.
It does, Chris.
Kathy, you know it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Bye, Chris.
Kathy Coppolis-McLeod is our dog behaviour consultant and I think all-round canine expert.
When I'm big, I might get neurodegenerative disease.
We can't make neurodegenerative diseases easier to say, but we can make conditions like muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis easier to live with. Here in WA at the Perrin Research Institute, our world-leading research teams are translating breakthrough results into life-changing treatments. Learn more at perrininstitute.org.